Praise the Lord. God is pleased with the praise of his people. Amen. He is so pleased. Before I get into my message here tonight, I just want to do a little pastoring. Okay. We are in a church with a lot of young babies. I want to remind you of the 10-second rule. Okay? You can't get them quiet in 10 seconds. Get them out the door. Do what you got to do and bring them back. All right? Sound fair enough? We need to be guest-minded, and I want them to hear everything God has. And as your pastor, I am saint-minded. So we all need what God has. Also, folks, I want to encourage you to be on time for church, okay, and be at church. You know, if all of our folks would have been here this morning, all of our regulars that were out this morning, and we had a handful out this morning, we had 123, we would have had probably around 150. If everybody would have been here this morning. You say, well, why are you saying that, Pastor? Because we are looking to find another building, and let me tell you something, the bank looks at numbers. Okay? God looks at numbers. All throughout the Word of God, God has numbered people. 120 in the upper room. 5,000 fed. Okay? Numbers matter. And when you talk to somebody about getting a loan, where are you at? Oh, 30 people. And you want over $1 million? Come on. Listen, our real estate lady was one of the reasons that we decided to go with her. She understands things. She understands about churches because she's helped sell some churches. And one of the things that she said that really spoke to us was most churches, they need to go to a bigger building. Don't have the funds. And so there has to be some things that you work out and do and wheel and deal and all this kind of stuff. Okay? But we're trusting God. Amen. Amen. We're believing God to open the doors for us. The building that I want is over $3 million. That's the building I'm trusting God for. Amen. Do we have $1 million? Nowhere close. I mean, nowhere close. We're on the low end. God. But folks, let me tell you something. You be faithful to God. He'll bless us. Amen. If you want to know where the building is, come out to me after church. I'll show you. But and it's got a contract on it. I don't care. Going to look at other buildings? Yes, I am, but I want that because I said, God, until you show me different, that's what I'm claiming.
All right.
Amen. Because we have looked high and low and under this and over that, and we can't find anything. We need parking. Come on. And that's hard to find in this city. All right. So please, folks, be faithful to the things of God. Be faithful to the house of God. It's important. The devil will give you any excuse you want to miss church. He's only trying to deceive you. So I'm just encouraging you, please, be with us. Be on board. Be inviting people. You know, I always did studies, and when you read into studies and things that have been said, they said 120 for a church. Once you get over that, things start cruising pretty good. And we've been running at that pretty good. And I believe God is doing some great things, and I pray that you get on board with what God is doing here. Amen. Be faithful to your small groups. Amen. These things are awesome. These things are great, and they're for your benefit. Amen. God is a good God, and He blesses us with things that we need. And if we don't show God appreciation, amen, we're not being thankful. God won't give you anything else. Amen? Amen. Will you turn with me in your Bibles here today to Luke chapter 12? Then we're going to read James 4 and Proverbs 27. Luke 12, 16 through 21. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build a greater, and there will I bestow all of my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. James 4, 13 through 14. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? Is it a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away? Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself to tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Lord, I thank you. God, I ask you to touch each one of us here tonight. God, speak to us. Lord, touch your servant. Anoint your servant, God, to speak your word. I pray right now, your will be done right now in Jesus' name. You can be seated. I want to speak to you tonight. What would be your reaction if your tomorrow was canceled? What would be your reaction if your tomorrow was canceled? You see, folks, it's natural. It's natural for us to talk about tomorrow. Maybe you're here today and you've discussed what you're going to do tomorrow and the day after and the day after. Amen. Planning your week. Amen. It's natural for us to talk about tomorrow and the things that you've planned to do. But no one here knows if tomorrow will even come for you. See, we do know that everyone has a day appointed unto death, and that judgment will follow. You can read that in Hebrews 9. So this side of the grave, folks, we must be sure that we're in a right relationship with God. We can boast about our eternity because the Savior's work at Calvary. Amen? But without boasting in Christ, we have no guarantee of our eternity. Think about this. It's evening time. And you have just finished supper. You decided to sit in your recliner and relax for a few moments. You and your family turn on Adventures in Odyssey. You're there and you're wanting to hear some great things from Adventures in Odyssey. And all of a sudden, right in the midst of your laughter, you hear a voice from the news center saying this: we interrupt this program to bring you a very important announcement. Tomorrow has been canceled. Now you say, well, how ridiculous that is. But is it? Think about it. The announcement comes to millions of people in the course of everyday life. I said that type of announcement comes to millions of people every day in the course of life. See, for all you and I know, folks, this announcement could be for you. It could be for me today, amen? In the past year, how many people do you know who have heard these same words? Your tomorrow has been canceled. For many of you who are sitting here today, this announcement has almost become a reality, maybe even in your life. Maybe it was a near heart attack. Maybe it was a near fatal car crash. Maybe it was brushing your teeth with cancer or pneumonia. Folks, these things and others have almost brought that announcement. Your tomorrow has been canceled. Every one of us is only a breath away from this announcement that our tomorrow has been canceled. I was at a funeral yesterday. A 42-year-old girl with three children. Because cancer took her from her family. You see, folks, every one of us are only a breath away from that announcement. James tells us that we should live our lives with the realization that our plans, our very lives, are not certain. Amen. What seems to us to be stable and what seems to us to be a sure thing is what we have in this present world, folks. Yet what we have in this present world may crumble. It may fall tomorrow. Too many people. This is the real world. The real world for them. To them, there is no other world. To them, this is all that life has to offer them. Most people say, yes, it is a real world, and you only go around once, and you better grab all that you can get and take it with you. The tragic thing is that we Christians often buy into this philosophy. But according to the Word of God, folks, it is a lie. This is not the real world, folks. There is one, there is a world beyond this one, amen? A world where there is no pain, where there's no sickness, where there is no tears, amen? A world with gates of pearl and streets of gold. A world where death is not allowed to exist. But be careful how you get attached to this present world. You see, if we get too friendly, folks, if we get too attached, too possessive of our possessions to the point that they possess us, then we become a friend of the world and an enemy of God. I ask you, what if tomorrow, your tomorrow, is canceled? Tomorrow was canceled for the rich man in Luke chapter 12. This is a parable that Jesus is sharing, but for many, this parable has become a reality. Amen? The world, hear me, the world's philosophy is take care of number one. Notice the repeated word, my, which points to this man's ingrained selfishness. He was concerned only about himself. He was not concerned about anybody else. He didn't care to help the poor. He didn't care to help the needy. He wanted to get all that he could in this life for himself so he could just sit back and enjoy it. This man had success. He had satisfaction. He had security. Amen. What more could anybody or he himself possibly want? Now you could say that as far as the world was concerned, he had it all. He was enjoying life. We need, folks, to be careful about having a false confidence in things or in people. 2 Kings 18, verse 21, now behold, thou truest upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt, on which if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, unto all that trust on him. 2 Kings 18:21, you are expecting Egypt to help you, but that would be like using a reed as walking stick. It would break, then jab your hand. That is what the king of Egypt is like when anyone relies on him. You see, in Job 15:31, let them no longer fool themselves by trusting in empty riches, for emptiness will be their only reward. Psalms 30:6, and in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. You see, Jesus made it clear that life does not come from an abundance of things. Nor does true success or security. This man made a false view of both life and death. There are a lot of people, folks, that are like this rich man. I got it made. I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to work for number one. In this world, they feel secure. They feel invincible, and that they will live to be 100 years old. They refuse to think of death. They refuse to think of eternity. They refuse to think of judgment. And as far as they are concerned, this world is all there is. How foolish to think that way. You see, death comes to all. Amen? Death comes to all. All will face eternity, either in this presence, either in the presence of God or expelled from His presence. All will face the judgment one day. But folks, this man's tomorrow was canceled. In verse 20, he said, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you." Death caught this man when he least expected it. He would be tempted to say, "Too bad this fellow dies just when he had everything going for him." How tragic. How tragic that he could not finish his great plans. But let me tell you, folks, the great tragedy of this story is not that this man left behind what this man left behind, but what was before him. Eternity without God. You see, folks, death has no favorites. It doesn't respect age, position. It doesn't respect importance, prosperity, or anything else. Death does not respect any of that. Young people, hear me today. Just because you are young and you have your whole future ahead of you, don't think that you will never hear these words. Your tomorrow has been canceled. See, there may be some here today who would say, "Well, I'm a good person. I treat people fair, so I should live a while." But you could also hear these words, "Tomorrow has been canceled." This man lived without God and he died without God. What a tragedy. But what if you and I had a guarantee? Let's say tomorrow is not canceled. How would you live? Are you going to live as if this is the real world? Or as if there is something beyond this world? In 1 John 2:17, the world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. James 4:14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? Is it even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away? Understand, folks, life is short. In Job 14, 1 through 2, 1 and 2, man who is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and fadeth away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. Proverbs 27, 1, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. See, James could have easily said, "Today or tomorrow, I'll travel the world. Today or tomorrow, I'll buy the house. Or today or tomorrow, I'll write the book. Or today or tomorrow, I'll finish the project." Ow, 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 ow. All of the pressures that tomorrow will be canceled. All of this presumes that tomorrow will be canceled. We are a presumptuous people. We presume that we will have a tomorrow to deal with our sin or do whatever we've been putting off for some time. We all feel that I'll take care of that tomorrow. We're presuming that we have tomorrow. But what if tomorrow was canceled and you were not able to take care of that sin that you've been messing with and you have been dealing with and you weren't able to take care of that? Folks, God's favorite word is today. Now is the accepted time. Today is a day of salvation. It's not tomorrow. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1 and 2. For God says, your cry came to me at a favorable time when the doors of welcome were wide open. I helped you on that day, on a day when your salvation was being offered. Right now, God is ready to welcome you. Today is He is ready to save you. So you see, understand, folks, we Christians and sinners presume that we have a tomorrow and we'll take care of things then. But God says you don't have that guarantee. Don't put it off. Do it now. Get help. Open your heart to someone. Spend time in prayer. Do it now. Tomorrow might be canceled. Don't presume that you will have tomorrow. See, God has promised us forgiveness for our repentance. But God has not promised us tomorrow in which to repent. Spoken by Augustine. You see, now, today is the only time you have. Don't put off God any longer. Your tomorrow may be canceled before the close of this service. See, then you look at the other side of the coin. Think of all the good and right and loving things you intend to do. All the loving acts of justice, mercy, kindness, mission, good intentions. There are many in the church who have intentions to work for the Lord, and they never do. See, we presume that we have a tomorrow in which to do these things. But what if your tomorrow doesn't come, folks? What if all the things you intend to do, all the things you intend to say to your spouse never get done or never get said? What about all the loving actions you intend towards your neighbors and your friends? What about all the great things you intend to do for the church? What if your tomorrow is canceled? Now, how easy to forget that this is not the real world. It's not going to last forever. This world is not going to last forever. Let's stand. You see, each one of our lives hangs by a thread. Any one of us could be called upon at any time to stand before God and give account of himself. What if tomorrow will cancel for you? You say, who, me, Pastor? Nah. The bad news is that if tomorrow is canceled and you aren't ready to meet God, you're going to have to spend eternity in hell. Banished from the presence of God. Hear me today. Don't put off what you must do today. The good news is that if tomorrow is canceled and you are saved, you have no worries. Because, see, the day after tomorrow has already been planned for you. Come on. You will spend eternity in heaven before the Lord. And the choice is yours, folks. You must make it before tomorrow is canceled. It's up to you. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. Tomorrow is not in your hands. No one knows what tomorrow brings. The only thing that we know about tomorrow is that it is uncertain at best. See, we can trust God with more than tomorrow. We can trust God with eternity. Come on, we can trust him with eternity. How about it today? Folks, let's find a place at this altar. Bring somebody with you. Come on. Come on, let's put our trust in.